Welcome to Sunday Recap. We are talking through Jake's first message in the Revival series. So this one was about God. I hope most are about God, but I mean, in particular, you talk about seeing God's glory, right?
Yeah.
So this is a little bit different message than you kind of normally do. We're going all over the place in Scripture trying to build a big theme. When did you first start seeing this theme of God's glory kind of being the goal all through Scripture? Like, what was that like for you, having your eyes open there?
Yeah, it didn't happen right away. But when it did happen, it's so central to Scripture and Christianity, you almost feel like, how did I miss it? But yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times when you enter into Christianity, there's some basics. I understand I'm a sinner. I need mm-hmm. forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then we start to approach the Bible. It's like, all right, how does this help me be a better Christian?
Sure.
But later, just the more I read the Bible, like the first read through is kind of like I'm at that level, mm-hmm. and then I'm seeing different things the more I read it. And mm-hmm. finally, reading the Bible, you see like God being about God in one story, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's in this story, and it's in this story, and it's everywhere. So yeah. I think it didn't happen early on for me. It was later in college when I started to see that.
So if you listened to the message and you were kind of surprised seeing this theme too, like, don't feel bad. We're all growing in maturity together, and hopefully this whole series will see even more ways God's glory really motivates us as we go. But you talked a little bit in the message. What are some of the dangers of not starting to see that trend and actually just making Christianity sort of more about us? Like, it's true, you had said, okay, God has good plans for us, he loves us, Jesus loves us, but what are the dangers of sort of stopping short there and leaving that as kind of where we end up?
I mean, the biggest danger of making Christianity about you is that you actually miss Christianity, because it's not about you. So, I mean, on a scary note, it could be like, you may miss the whole thing if you think it's about you. But on other fronts, you foster a self-centeredness. Mm-hmm. It's really a twisting of Scripture. Like, everything is about me, and I'm the main character, and how do I just have a better marriage, and how do I just handle money better, and how do I just, you know, fight this sin? And we don't have no motivation behind it of mm-hmm. a greater calling for the glory of God.
Yeah, and I texted you after the message, like, I needed that. We had conversations this last week about even ways, like, guys, this isn't just for you out there, but even for me, there are ways where I can make serving God about me instead of about God, mm-hmm. too. I think it's a danger wherever we're at in our Christian life, and man, it robs me of joy.
Yeah, there's really a freedom. Yeah. That's why we said we hope that we get set free from self-centered, self-exalting, self-absorbed living to God-centered, God-exalting, God-consumed living, because there is a freedom in that. It's the way we were made.
Yeah. You use this phrase, revival begins with treasuring God. Can you just define again, what is revival? What are we praying for, hoping for in this series? Define revival for us.
Yeah, it's kind of renewed, and it's revival, so it's two believers, because it's like, hey, you once were alive, you need to be revived, right? So in the heart and life of a believer, it's the reviving of spiritual passion and excitement and devotion and love for God.
Yeah. I've heard believers kind of, as the years go on, they kind of go, well, you know, it was nice when I first was a Christian, I was excited about these things, but you just kind of grow up. And, you know, there's a sense almost where we're used to not being revived. Mm-hmm. So it's helpful that we as a church are praying for this kind of thing, thinking about it together.
Yeah. It's important for us to know that it is for believers. A lot of times we think, our unbelieving world needs a revival. No, they need new life.
Right.
But the church needs revival, where we begin to love God as we should.
Yeah. You said it begins with treasuring God. So what is it like when someone treasures God? I want you to put a little flesh on it for us. What changed about their outlook, their perspective? Like, what would it look like in my life if I began to treasure God in this revived kind of way? You know, how do I know if I got it?
Yeah. New motivations. So a lot of times, why do we not give in to this particular sin, or why do we read our Bibles, or why do we pray? If the motivation is, well, I just want to be a better Christian, or I don't want to keep failing in this, it's still centered around yourself.
Yeah.
So when you treasure God, you now have different motivation. I don't want to fall into this sin because I want to honor the God that I love, mm-hmm. or I want to read the Bible, not so I become a better Christian, so that I know God more and I want him. So the reasons why we go about our Christian living, is it for your own embetterment, improvement, mm-hmm. in a self-centered way, or is you're looking at God as like, that's my treasure, my prize, and I have a desire to know him and draw close to him.
So if the way I've processed my Christian life is, well, I'm tired of feeling guilty and ashamed, so I'm going to try harder to follow Jesus, or I'm tired of my marriage not working the way I hope, okay, I should get some good principles from Jesus. Those principles and ideas might be true, but I still might be missing the point.
Yeah, you look at Jesus as just a tool in my toolbox to help me have a better life.
Yeah.
And the reason I really want to follow Jesus is so that Jesus helps me have a better marriage. Well, in that sense, the prize is your marriage and having a better marriage.
Yeah.
But when you get to the point of like, no, God is the prize, the result is that it's going to impact your marriage and your life and your morality and mm-hmm. everything. But keeping God as the prize, that's my alarm.
Yeah, what's your alarm for, Jay?
Well, I didn't mean to do this. I've set it at 9 and noon and 3. Different stages of the cross to pray. So, but we're doing a video, so we'll pray later.
Okay, we'll pray later. but I think that actually transitions to a great question. What have you done personally to cultivate a love for God? What have you done to cultivate a passion for God in this revived kind of way in your life?
Yeah. Man, I wish I could just say, like, here's my playbook. I had to, like, even preaching this message, I feel like I fall so short here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't treasure God as I should. And it is a work to cultivate mm-hmm. your emotions and getting into God's Word mm-hmm. and being around other believers that foster a love for God. Whatever is good and pure and lovely and beautiful, mm-hmm. think upon those things. Mm-hmm. Like, the discipline of your mind and where that goes, telling myself things I already know,
mm-hmm.
That God loves me, that he forgives me, those stir my heart for God. But even just reflecting not on what God has done for me, but just who God is.
Yeah.
God spoke things into existence. That's mind-blowing. We shouldn't just be able to say that, like, oh yeah, that's what God does. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The size of God is unbelievable, mm-hmm. and we have to be disciplined to think about those things. Mm-hmm. So in quiet time, sometimes it's not just, all right, let me read my daily reading plan and check it off and mm-hmm. go on, but shut the Bible
mm-hmm.
and just let me think about God for a while
mm-hmm.
and just kind of be in all of that. That's a discipline that I have to do. And even the times where you just feel like, I don't love God as I should.
Yeah.
To be blown away, like, yeah, I don't, and he still loves me.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing. So really kind of coming back to those truths again and again and again.
So the thing about that that's really helpful is there's not some special new thing you've never heard of that'll make you revive, right? But it's, I think in my life, where I'm at right now is acknowledging and confessing and repenting of the ways that I'm not pursuing God is like a foundational thing, mm-hmm. right? I've heard the phrase, revival begins when the church repents and turns from those things that we've been using Jesus to accomplish for ourselves, and turning back to him is the goal.
Yeah.
And doing the main and plain things, reading, praying, like meditating on truth,
mm-hmm.
scripture to get there. That's good.
Yeah.
What are things in your life that compete with treasuring God?
Sin.
Oh, great. Okay, let's move on. Next question.
I think for me, selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
I want everything to cater around me. I want my own comfort. I want my convenience.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the center. So I think struggling with that competes with the proper place God should have in my life. But any sin on any level does compete with treasuring God.
Yeah. And even the way you talked about how we become revived sort of, or lean into that, how do we treasure God, is also helpful in fighting sin. Like, I heard the illustration, like, a guy can set up all the disciplines and blockers to not look at porn online or something like that, but if his heart isn't changed and moved, he can have really good disciplines and just be dry, just be stagnant in all of that. But turning to Jesus even in that and praying that God help you see him as more worthwhile,
lovable. Yeah, for sure. I heard an illustration where it's like, how do you get air out of a cup. It's like, well, you don't do it with a vacuum. Mm. I mean, you can suck all that. You're not going to get the air out of the cup. You got to put water in it to get the air out of the cup. And I think when we try to focus on our sin struggles, we're still just focused on our sin struggles, and the sin is still there.
Yeah.
But to pour water in the cup, or is to pour who God is and the truth of God, that deals with the sin. So just sermons that I love to listen to, like anything that just reminds me of how awesome God is, needs to be part of a daily diet.
Yeah. And one thing we're trying to do as a church, along with our Bible reading plan, is the prayer guide for this series. Just, it could be a helpful application for you to pray through those three categories we've got: praying for yourself, for those immediately around you, and then kind of the rotating category. Get your family doing that with you. Get your connection group doing that. Part of the goal of that is to pray for stuff in your own heart, but also to move out and pray for other people. So it's not always focused on me, my issues, my needs, but even seeing what God's doing in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you hope God does then in Veritas through this series? But, you know, when we get to the end of this series, what are you hoping to see?
The revival. And I think a lot of times people will be like, you hear revival and it's like this, and I get excited about thinking, oh, the Welsh revivals, the Great Awakening, like, and I, if God moves in that way, that would be so amazing. Mm-hmm. But I want, like, even on an individual level, I want in my own life, like, God, stoke our passion for you again. Like, let's let God be the priority of our life. He is the priority. Like let's see that reality. I hope that people begin to take sin more seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, there's things like, I should repent of that. That is sinning against the holy God. So to see a time of repentance, increased worship and awe of God, that happening in people's lives would be amazing.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, Jake. Veritas, we love you. Thanks for tuning in.